All right, so to continue, we want Mem Tesemet Aleph, about 10, 12 lines from the top. The line begins Shonim. What?
Good finish tonight.
I haven't learned that far. I only learned until the Mishnah. I figured we might have a chance to get until the Mishnah. I didn't think we were going to get further than that. I didn't prepare it. Okay, so the line begins Shonim, about 10, 12 lines from the top. V'omer Rabila by Yivarechia. Two Tamar Chachamim are walking together on the road, and there's no Divrei Torah between them, they're not talking in Torah. They deserve to be burnt in fires.
How can they be
Tamar Chachamim
and walking without Divrei Torah?
Wait, let's learn the Gemara first, and then we'll see what Shenemar, the Pasuk says, about Eliyahu and Elisha, right, Eliyahu was about to be taken up to Shemayim. He's walking together with Elisha. As they were walking and talking, meaning they were talking in Divrei Torah, all of a sudden there came a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them and took Eliyahu up to Shemayim. Which implies, the time of the Ikad Dibur, only because there was speech, was it just they were separated by it, but that's it, they were left unharmed. But if they hadn't been speaking, the implication is that they would deserve to be burned. That's why it was a chariot of fire. There's a few different ways of explaining it. Actually, there's a Tosfos in Tainis, because this Gemara is also in Tainis, that says that, in fact, that evidently the implication of the Gemara is they were not talking in Torah, they were talking to Dvarim V'Teilim. How are you going to say that Yoh and Elisha are walking and talking to Dvarim V'Teilim? I don't know, but that's what Tosfos says. And therefore, so that's the implication is, it's not just, so therefore that's why there was a chariot of fire that separated them to show, like, as a warning, right? The other way of looking at it, Rashi says, is that, no, they were talking in Divrei Torah, but that's why the Rechav Esh came, to demonstrate that there's fire involved over here. If you hadn't been talking in Divrei Torah, then this fire would have actually harmed you. Interesting, you're asking the question, how to make a chacham can walk without talking in Torah. I saw a vort brought from Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the famous Baal Musa. He says, it could be that Tamar Chachamim are talking in Torah, but they're not talking with each other. They're in Be'nehem Divrei Torah. Each one may be thinking or talking his own Divrei Torah, but not sharing it with the other one. That's where in the Torah. You've got two Tamar Chachamim living in one city, and they do not get along with each other in halacha, meaning not necessarily they disagree. Disagreeing is fine, but they disagree in an abrasive way. One ends up dying, and one ends up going into golus. So Rashi says it means one of them ends up killing the other one v'shoigig, and then having to escape to the Ori Mikva. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, well, Nus Chomer Ritzeh HaShiyutzeh HaShi'er V'lidah, so the Pasuk says the Ori Mikvot are meant for somebody to run away there who kills somebody else V'lidah, without Das. And what does Das mean? Ba'in Das, that's Torah. The word Das means Torah, so what caused that this person, killed the other one is V'lidah, is a lack of Das to be teaching each other, to be teaching and learning from each other.
Now we think they have no das and one kills the other.
But Chachamim have to have good midas also, and not always do they. So.
That point.
Okay. Then we're not saying kill them purposely, it's accidentally. Okay. Das. Well, Torah should never need mu'amim b'liya das. My people are silent because they don't have das. And the positive thing is, Vatishkas Torah Salakasa, you've forgotten the Torah of Eivishtir. So we see that das is associated with Torah. But in other words, the point is that when we're saying that the person killed the other one with the daf, means because he didn't have the daf of Torah to learn from his friend and teach him properly.
And yes, he had Torah.
Yeah, he had Torah, yeah.
We can't say that there is Torah without daf.
Okay. Interesting word. They say the interesting word that's brought from Rabbi Isaac Chorif, one of the famous in Snag the Shogdolim in the 19th century. He says, so once one Lahora. Once one of them dies, what does the other one need to go into Golus for? Then fine, he can be established in the city. What happens? He says, because why would you have two Tamar Chachamim who are at loggerheads like this? Must be because you have two different factions in the city. One appoints one of them as a Rav. The other faction appoints somebody else to go against him. So what happens is, when the first one dies, so now, on the face of it, the second one should be unopposed, but now people realize, you know what, we don't need him. We only brought him in the first place in order to cause arguments over here. Once the other guy's dead, we don't need him either. So he loses his base of support and winds up having to leave. Actually, there's an interesting, Rav Shuda Gaon in his Igeres, he tells basically the history of the Jewish people from the time of the Gemara until his own times. He gives the Seder Adoris, the order of the generation, he tells a story in the middle of the time of Gaonim, where at one point there was a Rish Galusa, or somebody from the family of the Rish Galusa, named Reb Natur Nari. There was the Rosh Hashiva of one of the yeshivas named Reb Malka. And what Reb Shuda is saying exactly happened over there is a little difficult to understand, but one understanding of what he's saying is that the two of them had a machlokas. The upshot is, eventually, Reb Shuda says, Reb Malka passed away, and Reb Natur Nari ended up leaving Bavel and moving to Spain, which became a very important thing. He taught the Rishonim of Spain had a tradition that he's the first one who wrote down the Gemara and taught it to them. But anyway, Reb Natur Nari, not the famous Reb Natur Nari Goyen, the teacher of Reb Amram Goyen, that was 100 years later. Reb Natur Nari was a common name in those times. But anyway, so somebody once said, that's an example of our Gemara, but Yerushnei Tamar Chachamim, that I'm not Noyach was ever there, so Reb Malka passed away, and Reb Natur Nari went into Galveston. A person, a Talmid Chacham, who studies Torah in a difficult situation, where they're having to be covered with a blanket, sharing with somebody else, like we said before, or whatever, and his tefillah will be heard by the Eveshter. The pasuk says, the people will dwell in Tzion, in Yerushalayim. And we're understanding that Tzion means people who learn in the yeshivas, Talmid Chachamim, as in Oyev Hashem Shari Tzion, Mikol Mishkenos Yaakov. You will not have to cry. The merciful one will have mercy, will have rahmanas on you at the sound of your cry. As soon as he hears you, he will answer you. You see, that's the Talmid Chacham, who's living in Tzion, who's living in Torah. As soon as he cries out, the Eved answers him. And how do we know we're talking about a person who's learning Torah in conditions of difficulty? Because the next part continues. Actually, the nafan Hashem lachem. Actually, Lashon HaPasuk is v'lacha v'nafan Hashem. The nafan lachem Hashem. Whatever lechem tzar umayim lachat, Hashem will give you scanty bread and a small amount of water. So, like a Talmid Chacham is learning over there with barely enough bread and water. That's when he has the promise from the previous
verse. That
he learned in Elchi. I didn't know that. Okay. Also, such a person gets to be satisfied with the radiance of the Shechina. Shenema, as the pasuk continues, as that same pasuk in Yeshaya continues, your eyes will see your teacher, meaning the Eveshter. Rav Acha b'chaninah, also the curtain that Kaviyachol separates the Eveshter from the Nevroim will never be closed in front of him. Shenema, as the pasuk earlier in that pasuk, it says, well, yikonef oid merecha, your teacher will never be hidden by the knaf, by the corner of his garment, his mechitza. You'll have an open line to the Eveshter. Mishnah said, Reb Shimon Gamliel and Mishum Reb Shua, Miyem Shechara Beis Mikdash, Ein Cholot, that since the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, every day the Kolo is worse than the previous one. And by the way, the Rebbe used to, the Gemara says, Amar Rava, B'chol Yem V'yem Rubah Kilo Lof Mishach HaBeirei, every day's Kolo is worse than the previous one. Which the Rebbe once pointed out in the Sicha, what's the point of telling us that? Or what is the Gemara trying to depress us? One thing is when it's in Torah, it makes it easier to bear. And the other thing is when you know that every day the Kolo is worse, it also means every day the Eved is giving you more Kolichos to overcome those Kolos. How do we know? Shenema, it says in the Tosecha in Parshas Kisavot, "Baboker Toma Miyitzen Erev." In the morning, you'll say, "Would that it were the evening." "Erev Toma Miyitzen Boker." And in the evening, you'll say, "Would that it were the morning." Now, what do you mean, "Hey Boker"? What do you mean in the evening? You'll say, "Would that it were the morning." You mean Boker Dolmacher? Do you mean tomorrow morning? The Yodim I have it. Who says it's going to be any good? Why in the evening would you be looking forward to tomorrow morning when you don't? Tomorrow morning might be worse. But that's the point. You don't know. So what are you saying? Things are going to be so bad that in the evening you'll say, halavai, it was the morning. What makes you think in the morning would be any better? But you don't know that it's going to be any better, so you shouldn't say, mi yitin boker, mi yitin respite, mi yitin menucha, whatever. Why if you're looking for boker? Ella, the cholif, you're saying, in the evening, it's so bad that halavai is still back this morning, when at least it wasn't as bad this morning as it is tonight. We see that it gets worse and worse. Okay, the Ella Alma Amai Kamakayim, so what does the world continue to exist? If the Kalvas are getting worse and worse, what keeps the world in existence? A Kedusha Besidra, the Kedusha, the Seder of Kedusha, meaning not Kedusha that we say during Chazaras Hashas, but this is talking about the Kedusha that we say in, this is a Volatian, when we say Kaddish, 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 and Baruch, and we say it over there with the Aramaic translation, with the Targum. Rashi says the reason why they did that is because we want all the Jewish people to be occupied in learning Torah at least one time during the day. So like this, common people spoke Aramaic, so we'd say the Pesukim of Kedusha and translate them into Aramaic, that way everybody can understand them. And that's called Kedusha B'Sidra, the Kedusha where there's a Seder to learn every day. So you have
it. It's not before Shema.
No, this is not the Kedusha before Shema and Yotzer. Because actually, that Kedusha, the Rambam actually talks about that the Rambam holds that the Halacha is only the Shliach Tzibur says it, the Yochid davening alone does not. That's not the halacha. That's not the halacha. We say it, but the Rambam's opinion, at least, and the opinion of other Rishonim, is that only the Tzibur says it. But here we're talking about something which is meant for everybody, you know, Lovotzian. So Rashi says the advantages are you have two things. Number one, you're sanctifying the Eidrish's name. You're saying Kodesh and Baruch. And number two, you're learning Torah.
Well,
it's considered limud. That's the point. That's what I'm saying. It's considered limud because you say in the Pesukim and you're translating them so you understand them. So that's Kedusha B'Sidra. And also the Yeheshmei Rabba that they say after a darshan gives a drasha, and then they say some agadah, and then it's Kaddish Rabbanon, and you answer Omni Yeheshmei Rabba in that. This Gemara, by the way, is the source for the idea that you only say Kaddish Rabbanon after agadah. Not everybody holds it that way, but that is why, for example, that's why after Mishnayis at the end of davening we said a Panani Menachashim at the end of the Siyum and different times like that. You always finish off with a piece of Agadah before Kaddish because we're saying over here Amin Yeheshmei Rabba Agadah.
Well, the opinion that that
it says specifically Agadah, yeah.
No.
Indeed. Yes, he's right, because after, what do we do? After Pidgimak Tertus, which is halacha, after that we continue with agata. Tanad ve'eliyahu, kalashan halacha, omr avalaz ever from it, that's also agata, in order to say tachish rabbanon. For that matter, at the beginning of davening, after the brayta of Rabbi Shmuel, yirotzim ofanach hashem lekenu, shibonim esim tachish merimene, which is a mishnah from Avos, and then we say tachish rabbanon, we always say tachish rabbanon only after agata. Shanema, the pasuk says, "Eretz efasa kamei ofel," a land that is in that a land whose light is like a darkness, like a gloom. Samloves v'lois sdorim, a deep darkness, a shadow of death, and no sdorim, no order, which implies yesh sdorim. But if there's an order, if there's an order of learning, parashi es torah, like we just said, yesh, then tofiyama ofel, then the darkness will be lightened. The Mishnah said, "V'lo yarat tal l'bracha," that ever since the Churban, the dew never descends for a bracha. The nitzal tam peiros kula, and the taste of the peiros has been taken away. Tani we learn a brayta. Reb Shimon alazam a tara bitla tam bereach. The lack of tara has cancelled the taste and the flavor and the aroma, the smell of the fruit. Ma'aser bitla shimon dargan, and not giving ma'aser took away the fatness of the grain. Basically, the same thing as the Mishnah said. The Gemara tells a story. Rav Huna Ashkaf Tumauta Dechinu Nissa. Rav Huna one time found a fat date. Tumauta Dechinu Nissa. It actually says Shmena, fat date, and it has a good aroma. Chinu Nissa, Meloshim Chen. Shokla, he took it. Talcha B'Sudra, and he wrapped it up in his sudur, in his head gear. I forget the word for it. Turban, yeah, that's the word. The turban that Shmuel HaKham would wear, he wrapped it in that to keep it for later. Also Rabba Bray, the Rabba, his son, came along. Amalei says, Mochina Reichot Chinunissa. I smell the smell of a Tumad Chinunissa. Amalei says, B'ni Tara Yeshbacha. Obviously, you have a great degree of Tara. That's why your sense of smell has not been impaired by the lack of Tara. We just said the lack of Tara impairs destroys the smell, so yours is still intact. Yavanele, so gave it to him. Adahochi alpha ababre. He didn't wrap it in the middle of the turban. He wrapped it in one end of it that was hanging down or whatever. So he gave it to him. Adahochi alpha ababre. Then, as they were talking, Abba, Rabba's son, came along. Shakla, and he took it. Yavanele. And Rabba, the son, gave it to the grandson, Abba. Omalei, so he says to him, Bni. So Rav Huna, the grandfather, says, Bni, my son, Simachta Eslibi, you made me happy that you're such a Tahardic person. And he kissed her, Shinai, but you blunted my teeth, meaning that you showed me that you love your son more than you love me. So he took the date from me and gave it to him. Heinu Damri, and she, this is like what people say, Rachma de Abba Abone, the Rachmanus of a father is on his children, Rachmani de Boni, Abone de Abole, the Rachmanus of children are on the children that they themselves have. A person doesn't have so much Rachmanus to their parents. I think when we were learning in Nazir or something, I once mentioned... I think when we were learning, I think it was in Nazir or something, I once mentioned I mentioned a vort that I saw someplace. It goes, I think Rabbeinu Sinaitis says it, I don't remember, that it goes all the way back to the fact that Adam and Chava had children that didn't have parents. Therefore, it was kind of ingrained more into human nature that people love their children more than they love their parents. Another example of grandfathers and grandchildren. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Ichbal Beit v'Rav Yaakov bar Brater. Rav Acha bar Yaakov raised Rav Yaakov, his grandson, the son of his daughter. Ki Gadol, later on, eventually, when Rav Yaakov, the grandson, grew up, Amalei, the grandfather, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, tells him, Ashki and Maya, give me some water to drink. Now, giving water to drink is not a simple thing. You got to go draw water, etc.
So his grandfather said that?
No, the grandfather says to the grandson, bring me some water. Amalei, so the grandson tells him, Lav Grichano, I'm not your son. In other words, I don't have the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av to the extent that a son would. And there are places we say, based on this Gemara, that it means the fact that maybe a grandson does not have a thing of Kibbutz Av to his grandparents at all. Maybe he does have at some degree, but not to the degree of a son. One of the Mephoshim says, here what happened, Rabbi Yaakov was saying in the Talmud Chacham, he was busy learning Torah. He's saying, Melech, I was your son. Yes, I interrupt to bring you your water, Kibbutz Av. But the grandson is not important enough to you. Okay, behind her to Amri Inchi, and this is like what people say, Rabbi, Rabbi, raise me. But I'm your daughter's son. I don't owe you respect like I do to a parent. Yeah, but it comes up in halacha the question: to what extent does a grandson owe respect to his grandparents? And there's also one of the Mephoshim wants to say, maybe the Gemara is talking about over here about the son of a daughter. Maybe there's a difference between the son of a son versus the son of a daughter. Anyway.
But I see that the grandchildren usually respect the grandfathers very much.
They respect them, yes. But we're talking about the technical things of Kibbutz Av, not necessarily, yeah.